Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You know, I guess some people might look at adapting as not a good thing, but I think when you look at nature, yeah, you know, animals adapt to their surroundings brilliantly, mm-hmm. and that's what I did. And actually, I've done that again in future years. I've tried to adapt to any situation that I'm in, and it's been a really useful tool.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Beautiful Lives. This week's guest is the inimitable Davina McCall. On a side note, listen on to understand why I feel kind of pleased to have mastered the pronunciation of that word. I've stumbled over how to say inimitable literally my whole life. But back to Davina. As you may already know, she's a Garnier ambassador, and she's justly proud of the work Garnier have undertaken with UNICEF as they're donating 1.2 million over 3 years, which will help to provide kits to offer education, basic healthcare and toys to vulnerable children worldwide who need them the most. In this episode, Davina and I discuss so many things, from the power of friendship, to therapy, to rebelling, and sobriety. Davina is also a firm fan of a great beauty product, and she shares her Holy Grail mascara, and she wants thanks, by the way, from anyone who goes to buy it, and the fake tan she can't do without, and also how she thinks a glowing base is very important as years advance. Without any further ado, here's Davina and her beautiful life.
Today's guest is the inimitable Davina McCall. Were you a bit like, hang on, how do I say inimitable?
I'm not so great at pronunciation. Yeah, anyone who listens to this podcast will know I struggle.
It's a nightmare word, that word.
It is a nightmare word, but it does describe you very well.
Oh, thank you.
So we've just been looking through Davina's five products and also talking slightly through her life. And I said to Davina, is there anything you don't want to talk about? She went, no, talk about anything. Okay, so let's... Sorry, we've had a little cough.
That cough is from my press agent over there, yeah, who always says, whatever happens, don't say vagina.
Oh, dear.
So we've done that. Said it.
Okay, out the way. Beginning of the podcast, that bit will definitely stay in. Okay, so, Davina, you as a child.
Yes.
Growing up where? In London?
I grew up in London until I was nearly four. Mm-hmm. And then my mum and dad split up. Mm-hmm. And my mum took me down to live with my granny in the country. So from four to 13, mm-hmm. I lived in the country, okay, with my granny. And then I moved to London when, yeah, I was 13 to be with my dad.
Okay.
So I used to see my mum in Paris in the holidays.
Oh, well, that sounds very glamorous. I'm sure it was quite stressful.
It was hard, but okay.
As a story, it, yes, sounds kind of like, yeah, something from a novel. Okay, so your grandma, what's she like? Is she glamorous? We do this in every podcast where we try to go back and go, what's the first thing that made you think, oh, you know, I like a moisturiser?
What you're going to find from this, mm-hmm, podcast, what you're going to uncover about me, is that I'm two immensely separate people.
Okay.
So I have the influence of my mother, mm-hmm, who was the ultimate wild child. She was given a lump sum of money at 18, mm-hmm, and spent it on clothes, Yves Saint Laurent, and cars. And she was an it girl. She was way taller than me, way slimmer than me. She would turn heads when she walked into a room. Mm-hmm. She had a nose job when it was like the newest thing to do. So she had like a Faye Dunaway nose job.
Yeah.
And she was off the chart stunning. Mm-hmm. So she would walk into a room and just magnetize everybody. And she was always looking amazing, always made up, always moisturized, always perfect. Mm-hmm. Then the other side of me is my granny.
Right.
And my granny never wore a jot of makeup, stuff and nonsense, mm-hmm, pull your socks up, belt and braces,
yeah,
you know. Talking to people about problems is an absolute old load of tosh. You just get on with it. And she was an all home cooking, mm-hmm, home loving. She was the original girl power girl. She could do anything a man could. She, mm-hmm, could mow a lawn in her petticoat. She could, you know, put pictures up. She just was like a doer.
This is not helping to debunk the whole novel thing. This sounds like a novel again.
It sounds like a novel. Okay. I will write a novel one day.
You really
sitting
have
on a
to.
Balcony.
Yeah.
on a house in France.
Yeah, I was going to say south of France. It has to be somewhere like that. Okay, so you're growing up, and so your grandma's not very glam, but your mum is super glam.
Yeah.
And are there any sort of... So she's skincare, she's makeup, she's everything.
She's everything.
She's everything.
I really remember she used to wear the most heavy, potent scent, which was Opium by Yves Saint Laurent.
Ah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I actually found it too overwhelming sometimes. But my sister also went for a very overbearing, which was Rive Gauche, which is a very old-fashioned, again, perfume in the blue bottle. But those are the things that I really... When I smell those smells, it just brings my mum and my sister
scent
back to me.
Scent does have, like,
it's
nothing
just the weirdest,
else.
It's the weirdest
it's really
thing.
Weird. Okay, so you're growing up, then you go back and you live with your dad.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Well, my stepmom's amazing because I've lived with my granny with kind of no makeup and hand-me-down clothes and very sort of not caring what I look like, being a bit of a tomboy, never wearing any kind of makeup. And my stepmom was a really good grounding influence on me. So she was the one that would do, you know, take me on the shopping trips to Topshop. Topshop was around in those days. Some of your younger listeners might not believe that, but it was. And, you know, she'd buy me an outfit or she'd go, you know, maybe try wearing your hair like that. When I was about...
What did you look like at the time?
When I was 13, I looked really straight. So I came up from the country and I had a pudding bowl haircut. And I wore, like, all my school uniforms.
What kind
was
of year was that?
So I was 13, so 67, it would have been 80.
Okay, so it 81. Really is the time of the really neat 81. Kind of hair and
but But I was only like that because I was quite square.
Right.
You know.
Were you bookish?
I was quite bookish. Okay. I was a clever girl.
Yeah.
When I was little. But always had a bit of an issue just getting pen to paper. Mm-hmm. You know, I was always very enthusiastic about everything, but I couldn't quite...
Yeah,
pull it off.
You aren't quite someone who's knuckled down and do the actual
exactly.
bit you need to do. So then you're in London, and then you're... I'm seeing this as a bit of a makeover.
Oh my God,
pretty
London
woman.
It was amazing. So I turned up at school on my first day at school, and there were punks and, you know, skinheads.
Where were
there.
You going to school?
I went to Godolphin. Where's in that? London. It's in Hammersmith.
Okay,
And it was amazing. I'd never seen people like that before in my life. But I did walk in and think, I am going to die. Like, this is...
So you didn't feel like, this is great. Look
no,
at these people.
But
you
I did after
terrified.
2 days.
Okay, fine.
So I went home. I said to Mum, we need to get some peroxide. I need to change my socks. You've got to take my skirt in and up tonight.
Okay.
This is a survival. This is a survival thing. I have to adapt now or I shall be killed.
Yes.
So that's what I did. I adapted. And actually, interestingly, you know, I guess some people might look at adapting as not a good thing. But I think when you look at nature, you know, animals adapt to their surroundings brilliantly. And that's what I did. And actually, I've done that again in future years. I've tried to adapt to any situation that I'm in. And it's been a really useful tool.
Let's go to your first product.
Yeah.
What is it?
So it's Estée Lauder Daywear Plus,
right?
And it's weird because it's not a foundation and it's very very light, but it changes tone to your skin tone.
Okay.
So it means that you don't have to buy one for winter, one for summer. Mm-hmm. You just buy the same product
and
all year round.
And you can't go wrong with it.
You
which
can't
is
go
one
wrong
of the
with
important
it.
Things.
And I wear it all year round, and I wear it on Long Lost Family. I have to do my own hair and makeup, but I really don't want to look made up because obviously our contributors don't have hair and makeup.
Yes.
So I try and look quite natural.
Yeah.
And I use that for you know, when I'm doing my own makeup.
So have you ever struggled with your skin? Has your skin always been uniform? Because, I mean, looking at you now, you don't look like you've ever had a spot.
No, I've never had bad skin.
So you've
been
quite
so
blessed
lucky.
In that way.
I have got quite bad pores. Like, my pores are quite open.
You don't
but,
have bad pores.
But I...
Is that a magnifying mirror observation?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah,
no, you don't have bad pores from the...
My daughter once looked at me. It was really funny. We were lying in bed. And this was actually the first realization. She must have been about 8 or 9 when I thought, actually, I need to look after my skin a bit better. She looked at me and she went, "Mummy, what are those holes in your face?"
Children are awful.
I was like
that.
Yeah. What? What holes? And she went, "They're sort of everywhere." I was like, "Oh my God, they're pores. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
No.
I've got to sort it out."
No.
So Anyway, Daywear Plus is an amazing product. And what I do is I put a bit of Daywear Plus on and then I put some powder on the top. Mm-hmm. But that is an absolute staple. And it gives a really nice glow. And the older that I've got, the more I've realised that actually you have to have a slightly glowy, dewy skin when you're a bit older. It makes you look much younger.
Powder is tricky when you get powder, isn't it? Let's go into your second product because we're talking about sort of your daily essentials. And you said that there's something you can live without.
Yes, because... how do you say his surname?
I would say Akwan.
Akwan.
I don't know that I'm right Akwan. About that.
Kevin Akwan.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say
That's what I go with.
Okay. Kevin Akwan does this mascara, which somebody at Space NK turned me onto. Mm. And it's called Tubing Mascara. And
Hallelujah.
I was like, what is Tubing Mascara? And when she explained to me, I was like, oh, God, it's another fad. I can't be bothered. This is going to be terrible. And she went, look, honestly, you've got to trust me. You've got to try it. So I was like, okay. Anyway, I went off and I tried it. It went on really nicely. It works like any normal mascara. It gives you really good coverage. It gives you really nice lashes. But the best thing of all is when it comes to taking it off. Now, one of my biggest annoyances in life was removing... The reason why I didn't wear makeup for 15 years was because... I hate taking it off. Mm. And even when you use makeup remover, that especially waterproof mascara, but if when you like you end up with panda eyes, and even when you use a makeup remover, you still end up with a little bit of panda
eyes. And you feel like you're
it's never
to drag
ending.
A
yeah.
little bit of your lashes.
So tubing, you will never have panda eyes ever, ever again. I stand in the shower and I just pull the mascara, but I don't even pull it off. I roll the mascara off my eyelashes, and it is the most incredible thing. The way that it works,
it's life changing.
I don't know how it works. It's complete life changing. And you, like, if you haven't tried tubing mascara, you have to try it.
Yes,
and then get in touch with me somehow and let me know
absolutely
how grateful you are to me for introducing it to you, because you may want to send me a gift of some sort.
I think people should send me gifts. I would send you a gift for that. It's a
You've
wonderful
changed
thing.
My life with the tubing mascara.
Are you wearing it today?
I am, yeah, because you know what
incredible.
I do?
Yeah.
I gave my makeup artist a tube and I said, please, will you use this on me from now on? And now she uses it all the time.
Do you
She's
just
obsessed.
Use it on your upper lashes or do you put it on lowers as well?
Only upper.
Why don't you do your lowers? You're
I
not
generally
like
only do upper because... doing too much stuff underneath at my age is slightly drags your eyes down and makes you a bit, makes you feel a bit older.
Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry if you can hear helicopter. We are recording this in London, so
it's London.
The metropolis.
It's the metropolis.
Okay. Right, let's go back then. So, all right, you're discovering
my God, that
all this,
really is low.
It's quite loud, yeah.
Oh, it's a Chinook. It's a Chinook. Oh, I love Chinook.
Right.
Sorry.
Sorry, you can't see it, guys. We'll take some pictures.
That was really exciting. I get very happy when I see a Chinook. It's very exciting.
Okay, so you are getting into beauty.
Yes.
Because you kind of have to.
Yes.
At your school. And what happens to you next in life? So from here on, reading your sort of biography, as it were, it just goes totally off the chart. Mm. What happens?
So at that point, I then... I start going off the rails a little bit at about... I mean, I'm already tipping my toe into drugs and stuff at 13, 14, smoking weed.
Peer pressure? Because you're curious.
I was just... It wasn't that I felt pressured by anybody. I thought it was cool. I was cool. Mm-hmm. And it's quite dangerous, you know, when you hang out with loads of kids that are much older than you.
Yeah.
And all of my friends were at least 2 years older than me, and I thought that was really, really cool. Mm. And because I'd led this life in Paris, where I'd had no boundaries, nobody ever told me what to wear, nobody ever told me what time to get back in. Yeah. Nobody. I was very experienced for a girl of my age. You know, I'd been to nightclubs since I was 13. I think the first nightclub I went to was when I was 12.
So you don't have the
with
fear
my mother.
In place.
No, I just I was cocky, and I was like, when somebody would go, do you want to try this? I'd go, yeah, sure. Yeah. And so I just didn't have any kind of fear at all, and I thought, it's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to be that person. And so this sort of all started slowly escalating over the years. And depending on who I met at what time in my life, you know, if I met somebody else that used a lot of something, then I would use a lot with them. And then I'd kind of escalate and it would go on to something else. So by the time I got to 18, 19, when I was leaving school, I didn't want to go to university.
Despite being clever and engaged.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to go to university now, you know.
never too late.
I know. It's something I could do when I retire, maybe. And I loved, you know, I'd go out clubbing, and I eventually ended up working at Models One as a men's booker on the men's desk. And I was there for about 6 years, 5 years. And at that time, I also ran clubs because they wanted beautiful people at the clubs. Mm-hmm. So I co-ran two or three clubs with some guys and did the door. I was door bitch and got all the beautiful people down from all the agencies. And it was a brilliant, brilliant time, but it was also a time where I was just tipping over the edge of it being brilliant fun and then turning into sort of where I was slightly being controlled by my drug taking and not the other way around.
So you're quite tough and self-assured. I'm picturing you as someone at this point who's seen quite...
Yeah, do you know what's interesting? At the clubs, drugs made me tough and self-assured, I think. Mm. And I think that's what the attraction to them was, because actually inside I was a very insecure person. And I wanted... I basically think I spent my entire life trying to make my mum want me. And everything that I did was trying to make her wish she hadn't taken me to my granny's or wish she hadn't given me away.
Was she a figure in your life at this point?
I went and saw her in the holidays, but she was an amazing woman. She definitely loved me, but she wasn't a natural mother. And she didn't really want the responsibility.
Yeah.
But she was good fun. But not a great mum.
It's a really
and an alcoholic
it's
and
really
an addict
thing,
herself, and you know, and I can look back now and I can see that she just didn't have it in her, and I feel all right with that now. But at the time, I was like, "But I'm your daughter, like, how can you not?"
And you see other people with their relationships with their mums,
and
they're
I used
so
to call other people's mum all
Did
the time.
You?
Like I'd go around to friends' houses and I'd say, "Can I call you mum?" And you could kind of see the mum's kind of going, "Oh God."
No wonder that you were kind of stressed and grappling with lots of your identity.
So drugs sort of did fill the void for a bit.
Yeah. And so you're getting to sort of your 20s and you're finding that you're a bit out of control.
Out of control, and it wasn't filling the void anymore, you know, and the void was kind of getting bigger and nothing seemed to fill it. Mm. And I was getting really frightened by that and trying to fill it more and more and taking more and more.
And were you frightened about where your life was going, or was it more that you were consumed by the day-to-day living?
Because, you know, I was like, that was one of my other problems, was that I'm very compliant and I'm very law-abiding, and I didn't... I thought that everything would still be fine if I... never stole, never slept rough. So I really worked hard to pay for my drug habit and to try and keep this facade.
So you were
everything
working at the
was
door
okay.
Still.
Work at the door, work at Models One, trying to keep it all together.
Yeah.
But actually cracks were beginning to show. And that's when I ended up getting clean. And I got clean quite quickly because I could see that the whole facade, that I was like a duck on top of the water. My little feet were kind of...
Were you drinking as well?
Yes.
Okay, and do you drink now still?
No.
So that's something that you got rid of as well? Okay.
Years,
And so when you had that, was there someone or something that just made you go, you know what, I need to sort this out?
Yeah, my friend Sarah.
Okay.
She is my person.
Okay.
And she is like, she's like the nicest, kindest person, but she's so honest with me. So if I'm out of order, she'll just go... No, Davina, I think you'll find that's out of order. And it might not be what I want to hear, but it's always the truth.
Yeah, and you need
and
someone like that.
And I can do that with
her. Yeah.
And she is absolutely, without a doubt, the most compassionate, like, wonderful, kindest woman, great mum. I helped her get clean, she helped me get clean. Like, we both kind of really, really helped each other out.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've been through such a lot together and we've known each other for so long, you know, 30 years we've been best friends, it's like an unstoppable kind of bond now. Nothing.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Breakers. I'm very excited to be promoting this amazing partnership that Garnier have just forged with UNICEF, and they're going to give $1.2 million over the next 3 years to help 300,000 kids. And actually, I've learned a lot about UNICEF today.
So and, have I. It's an
what an amazing,
initiative.
Amazing yeah. charity.
It
oh my
really
God.
Is incredible.
So this is like the side of my job that I absolutely love, because mm-hmm. I think, God, I'm like, I still can't believe that mm-hmm. Garnier still want me 12 years on.
Have you been with Garnier for 12 years?
I might even be 13, I don't know. It's like a lot, it's a really, really long yeah. time. And I can't quite, I'm still thanking my lucky stars that I'm still relevant to them. So I, for them to be able to, with them, do something like this, it's just, it's really nice. Mm. The funny thing is, yeah. right, like, I actually went to Garnier and I said, listen, can I advertise your summer body for you as part of my contract? Because I live and breathe this product. Mm-hmm. And actually, I am one of those people. When you find a product and you think, this is the best thing I have ever tried, a bit like with the mascara,
yeah.
you think, I've got to tell everybody about it. This yeah. stuff is like... And summer body, I don't think, is a product that's out there enough. Like, yeah. people don't know about it enough. And it's not a fake tan. I cannot fake tan. I will cock up a fake tan. And you don't streak. You don't do anything. And if you put it on every day, it starts really building up. I mean, I don't do that because it ends up sort of almost too brown.
Because you're a really nice colour now.
If you do it on top of a bit of a tan,
yeah,
and I do it like 3 times a week, and when you have a bath, it just washes off quite nicely. Sometimes it will come off a little bit on my towel, but it washes straight out. It doesn't mark it or leave any kind of stain. So when you do wash it off, it does come off a little bit, which yeah. is good. You know, you don't want... Because that's what I hate about fake tans, is that when they start coming off, they look terrible.
And also you get these little patches.
It's terrible.
Right?
You never get patches
no. okay.
with summer body. And yeah. I use it all through the winter and all through the summer.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay.
Anyway, there you go.
I think I've used that once, but I'm going to have to get another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you've got to get on the program.
Okay, so let's go back. So you're yeah.
clean
and
sweet.
What's your next move then?
Well, my next move is to I'd been harassing MTV for 3 years to try and get them to give me a screen test.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you intrinsically feel that that would be, you'd be good at that? Was that something
somebody
that
else told me that okay. they thought I'd be good at that? Mm. And but then I did a bit of work for MTV Europe for the launch of MTV Europe. I had to entertain all the celebrities from Victoria train station to Amsterdam. And it was the most fun I've
what
ever had.
What year was that?
Oh, my God. So I would have been about 21, so 77, 77, 87, 88, 89.
An incredible year for celebrity.
An incredible year. Or
and
90,
before,
in fact,
before,
1990.
Before everyone was photographing everything and when it was still
yeah,
quite
and
fun.
Everybody was, like, really out of control yeah. and, like, really off their tits, and everybody was very, very, very naughty.
Mm.
And it was very funny. And I thought, I want to work with this company. This company's really fun.
Mm.
And so I spent years trying to work for them, but I was using more and more. And, you know, if I'd have got an audition then, I would have cocked it up.
Yeah.
And what was really amazing, when I was 6 months clean, I finally got a call from MTV, and I'd been annoying them so much for 3 years.
Mm.
I got the call and they said, we'd like to audition you.
Great.
And I thought, isn't it funny that I've finally got my life in order? And if they'd auditioned me 6 months previously, I would have totally messed it up.
There's
I
a lot to be said
late.
For the
yeah,
right
timing.
Moment in
it's
life.
It's all about timing.
Yeah.
So I'd wanted it for so bad for so long, but it wasn't the right time. It
wasn't the right thing for you then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you go in. Were you brilliant straight away?
You know what I was really nervous about? I thought, this is 3 years of pent-up energy. What yeah. I'm really worried about is I'm going to be over the top. You know what I'm like? I'm a little bit like an excited puppy anyway. And if you think this is me at 49, you should have seen me at 25.
Right.
I mean, like, yeah.
You were on,
so like,
you were on. Yeah.
And I thought, the whole way through the day, I was thinking, just breathe, just stay calm, breathe. It's going to be okay. Just try and, I was trying to be kind of, just a little bit, take the edge off. And 3 months later, they phoned me up and they said, you've got the job.
Can I ask you about that day just quickly? Yeah. Do you remember what you looked like or what you were wearing?
Yes, I do. I remember exactly what I was wearing.
Tell me.
I was wearing, it was kind of like a bit like a hippie dress. So it was sort of below the knee and it had buttons all the way down the front. Okay. It was quite sort of, it was quite girly for me.
What colour was it?
But kind of quite low at the front, and it was like a green, it was greens. Mm-hmm. And then I had on a cardigan that my granny had knitted for my auntie in the 60s. It was really cool. It was kind of crop and like little V-neck, and it was tiny, it was sexy, and it had kind of little sort of slightly
amazing
puffy sleeves.
Were you wearing makeup? Were you wearing a lot of makeup?
Not hardly any makeup.
Okay.
And actually, it wasn't sort of trendy at all. It was just quite girly. Mm. But yeah.
Okay. So then you do well. You start working on
TV. MTV.
You, I need to touch on this, being a massive Kylie fan. You appeared as a dancer in Word Is Out.
I did, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, Kylie was a good friend of mine. I mean, it's weird. You just lose touch with people, and we just sort of lost touch. But it wasn't...
Kylie and I were great friends.
It wasn't... We didn't have a falling out or anything. Mm. We just sort of moved apart from each other. But she was... she was a really good friend of mine. She used to come to lots of the clubs that we did. Mm-hmm. And we used to hang out. And... And I managed to wangle my way into one of her videos, which I thought was quite clever.
I urge you to go and watch that video.
It's Word Is Out.
Yeah. It's the great video where they're like on a fire escape.
Yeah.
And Kylie's
and it's also got lots of my models from Models 1 in it.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be re-watching that this evening. Okay, so you're doing that. You're doing lots of different things. And when you're working at this point, do you feel like you've got it? Are you just like, this is it, this is my career, I'm fine?
Yes. I mean, I did feel like... I'm good at this.
Okay.
And I did sort of start getting a bit of self-worth from that. And you remember I was telling you about the void that I had, and actually the self-worth that I got from thinking I actually kind of, I'm okay at this. And I feel like that void is like filling a little bit. Mm. But I still asked Models One to keep my job open for about 3 years.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, I always think my career is going to end tomorrow.
So you have a little bit of imposter syndrome.
Yeah, always, but because I feel very, like, lucky.
Do you think that's also because it's the job, this job, it's quite personality-based? So it's not like, you know, if you're a lawyer, you're like, I have this exam and I have done this. And like, whereas this is you. You're the thing that people buy, effectively. So do you think that there's something
in that?
Yeah,
if people go off you, then you're scuppered.
Yeah.
A little bit. I think as I've got older, I've thought, well... I've got history now, like people that have grown up with me a little bit.
Yeah.
And some people have seen me since they were little on television. So I kind of, that's...
People know who you are.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of half the battle.
Let's do your next product.
Yeah. So Chanel number 19. So this is a scent, I don't wear it anymore. Right now I wear Molecule One, which I'm obsessed with, but...
Yes, that's come up a few times in these podcasts.
Yeah,
that's
obsessed.
A big secret.
Chanel number 19 was the scent of my childhood. And I remember thinking that I was the absolute dog's bollocks when... Because I'd go over to Paris and I'd arrive, bearing in mind, from my granny, not much money, secondhand clothing, arrive in Paris, suddenly given 500 francs, French francs, which was £50 in those days, which was a ton of money, to go and get myself an outfit because they'd always be horrified in the clothes that I'd turn up in.
Yeah.
And
is this
and
your
I'd
mum
always
giving
buy
you that money?
Myself, no, my granddad.
Your granddad, okay.
And then I'd always buy myself a little bottle of perfume. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking, and I've always had a thing about I'd rather not have the cheap version, I'd rather save up, even if it takes me 10 years to buy
the
expensive
the
one. I'm that kind of person.
Yeah.
And so for me to have Chanel number 19, you know, I was like, oh, this is it. I can't stand the smell anymore. But that was the smell of my childhood.
And let's move on to your life now.
Yes.
So you did all the big shows. I mean, I still remember Big Brother airing and being
it's mad.
Suddenly that was a massive thing and you were absolutely everywhere. Did you find you settled in quite... Like, your role in your life, did you feel like everything fell into place around that time and it was all getting a bit more harmonious?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely... I've always sought some kind of help if I've felt like my life's in a bad place. So I've seen counsellors and therapists and
what's worked best for you?
I think counselling.
Mm-hmm. So just chatting
from a
trained, things through properly.
Because sometimes I don't want to talk to my friends about specific things, but it's a place where you can bounce ideas off somebody. And I found one woman who's amazing, who I will see whenever I need to just go and like just bounce some ideas back and forth.
Also,
and
they, I think they're not invested in your life.
Yeah. And therapy's just amazing. Yeah. Therapy's just like the best thing ever. I always feel a bit sad that there always seems to be such enormous waiting lists to see a therapist, especially on the National Health. I'm lucky because I don't have to go on the National Health, but if you do need to go on the National Health, it's very, very difficult to see somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's much harder to look after your mental health and your physical health.
Yeah,
and it's something
definitely.
That, because you can't see it
quite
as clearly. I think it's much harder to say to people, I need help with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to your final product, which quite aptly is something that you probably use to relax or as a treat.
I do. And I'm very, 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 very into smell. So I really pick
You've
up on other
smell
people's
a few
smells.
Times through this, actually.
I'm really into. I loved Perfume, that book. Mm. Patrick Susskind, I think it was. So I'm really into my scents, and the smell of this shower gel by Diptyque is so off the chart amazing, but it's sadly prohibitively expensive.
It's insane.
So it's always sort of top of my birthday or Christmas list.
Yeah.
A little bit of Diptyque shower gel. Oh my God, I love it so much. And it's smooth and it's soft and it's silky and it leaves you smelling absolutely delicious all day.
There's also something in using something that, you know, you could use a £1 shower gel and get the same effect.
Yes.
And there's something in using something that's wildly decadent that makes you feel, it's that kind
and
of
also,
unworth it.
And also that feeling of like, only use a little bit, mm-hmm. really make it go a long way.
And enjoy
and
it.
Really enjoy it.
Yeah, and enjoy pampering yourself. You know, it's a lovely feeling. And I think that's actually the best thing a product can do for you.
Yes.
Make you feel a bit special.
Yes,
for
a bit special, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, thank you.
So that was the amazing Davina McCall. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the episode, please do rate and review it. And also don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss any future episodes. I'll be back next week with a new guest, so see you then. Bye!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.